We gonna do a picnic this summer or what?
Well, I hope so.
I hope so. When are we supposed to do it?
I don't know. Sometime soon. Maybe on a Thursday, one of these weeks.
On a Thursday? Could we skip the screening to Mission Impossible, go to a picnic instead?
No.
Oh, man. You're listening to Casual Wednesdays with Doom Rocket. I'm your host, Jared Jones. And across the table from me, as always, is the Purple Rain to my bat dance, MJ Kramer. It's a Prince joke.
I got it.
I'm glad you got it. This week, we are talking about the announcement from Skybound and Image Comics, the brand new series, Die, 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 from Robert Kirkman, Walking Dead showrunner Scott Gimple, Chris Burnham, Nathan Fairbairn, and a few other folks. Like a bolt out of the blue.
I am so floored by this, that they were able to do this and keep it secret, have it be such a surprise.
Because we talked to Nathan and we talked to Chris at Emerald City, and we're like, so the hell are you doing? And they were like,
oh, a thing.
I think Chris said a thing. Nathan was like, what are you talking about? Well, doing plenty of stuff.
Yeah, Nathan has other stuff to work on. He's a colorist, you know, he works with other artists.
Yeah.
But Chris Burnham, we hadn't heard from him in a very long time.
He was up to something, that guy.
Looking to find out what he was working on, if it was something.
It was a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
But this also prompts a conversation that stems from our last conversation from the previous episode about the culture of spoilers, whether they come from retailers, whether they come from the press, and how comics can stay exciting and fresh inside of a culture like that. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Is there any goings-on between last week and today that you want to talk about, get off your chest before we continue on?
No, I think this is about it.
This is about it?
This is a big thing.
Yeah, all right. I think that, this pretty much supersedes everything else. Although, there is the slow trickle of SDCC news, major announcements coming ahead.
They did announce that there's going to be a new Umbrella Academy series.
Yes.
Which is cool. It's so weird. It's a week before San Diego starts, and we're getting announcements already.
Well, I mean, that's how they do it.
Yeah, it's just funny.
A lot of the time. Gerard Way and Gabriel Ba are reuniting after 9 years since the last Umbrella Academy Dallas, I think, came out in 2009. Is that the case? And so, yeah, they're here back again for a new series starting in October. You want to put money down now as to whether or not it gets done in a timely fashion?
Oh, we'll see. But, you know, that Netflix series is coming out soon as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Umbrella Academy is going to be everywhere.
San Diego con goers, you are in a good spot. Show up at the Dark Horse booth early and you'll get yourself a couple of Umbrella Academy pins and a t-shirt.
Ooh.
Yes, for more details on that, you can check that out on Doom Rocket. Jorge Corona and Scotty Young have a new series called Middle West from Image Comics.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
You didn't hear about that?
Is Scotty doing the writing or the...
It looks like he's writing, and it looks like Jorge is doing the art, or at least that's the gist I'm getting from the cover here.
Man, Scotty's really moving over into the writing end of things.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. I mean, you can get it done a hell of a lot faster than drawing out a book.
Oh, I love his art, though.
I love his art, too. He's not going to stop drawing. I'll give you the quick paragraph synopsis, if you'll indulge me. The lands between the coasts are vast, slow to change, and full of hidden magics. Mistakes have been made, and in Middle West, an unwitting adventurer searches for answers to quell a coming storm that knows his name. So begins the epic tale of Abel, a young boy who must navigate an old land in order to reconcile his family's history. Sounds like a different change of pace for Mr. Young. But yeah, on top of that is this big announcement ahead of time. Robert Kirkman's going to be showing up looking rather pleased with himself at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. Die, die, die. So, MJ, you retail. You received the glut of books for the week. Will you tell the listeners how this book was delivered to shops?
Well, it had been, you know, invoiced, because we get our invoice like a week early saying what's coming, what specifically we are getting next week and how many.
Right.
And this was on our invoice as something like special thank you variant or something.
Special thank you. Is that a common thing from Image?
No. It feels weird. DC has sent it before where it's like a special thank you variant, but it'll just be like a couple copies. And this was like, you know, a lot of copies. A lot of other retailers were like, what the heck is this? They, you know, Image didn't say anything. Nobody said anything. Our store's a Monday delivery store, so we opened our boxes on Monday, and there's like, it also came with a poster, and the poster had a letter from Kirkman printed on the back of it, talking about this and how it was this big surprise, and he wanted it to be a surprise because he wanted to kind of rekindle this old feeling that he would have walking into a comic shop before before the internet, where you could just walk in and be like, what the heck is this new book? I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, you remember that feeling?
I mean, I don't, because I wasn't reading then. It's very funny, because, like, Kirkman has often talked about how he loves Rob Liefeld and loves, like, those batshit crazy 90s comics. And, like, rereading these letters, because there's this one at the end of the comic, too, you can see that, you can see Kirkman's love of the 90s coming back in there. Yeah. And honestly, this comic feels kind of like that, too.
Sure. I like the 90s, too, but I like it more for, like, Gak and Elastica and stuff like that.
Gak and Elastica.
Yeah, two of my favorite things. So, Die, they had to work their asses off to keep this under their hats. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, especially in comics, when you have to have a crew of creators, the publisher, and then the people that are distributing it and publishing it, like printing it out, how all these people could keep quiet under the threat of death up until this point, until the Tuesday morning anyway.
I'm sure some NDAs were involved.
I'm sure that they were.
I'm very proud that none of the comic shops who get Monday delivery spilled the beans. Yes. It was, wasn't until Tuesday, when, which is when most shops get their books, the day before they're released. Someone whispered into Rich Johnston's ear and sent him a bunch of info and pictures of the variants and stuff.
And Johnston, of course, ran it, because I feel like he feels like he has some grim duty to the comics industry to, you know, just make sure that everyone's on top of everything. IGN had the exclusive.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were plenty pissed about it. The exclusive got pushed up to Tuesday because the leaks just started coming out. Once Bleeding Cool let it drop, everyone thought it was open season. Retailers started dropping it. Big Bang let fly the details. Even G-Mart, much to my chagrin, said, hey guys, we got this thing on Tuesday.
Well, there was nothing in the materials that any stores received that said we had to keep it secret.
Well, I spoke with Image, and they were like, we need to keep this quiet till Wednesday. While they also mentioned the caveat that the leaks will probably occur anyway, which is a sad thing, I think. Because I think this is something that we said last week. The majority of people who read comics aren't on Twitter.
Correct.
They aren't on Facebook scouring, you know, the group pages for spoilers or things like that.
Yes, they're not keeping up with every single announcement that Image Expo made. Be like, when is this going to finally come out? When is this going to come out? People just come into the comic shop and ask, and then you look it up on Diamond's website and say, oh, this hasn't even been solicited yet. It's going to be at least 4 months.
Right.
The spoilers the week of the release aside, I think it's great that they were able to keep this under wraps.
As long as they did.
Yeah. And I am surprised that Image thought that it wasn't going to get out until Wednesday.
Nobody's so naive to think that you know who isn't going to ruin it for everybody before this actually drops.
But I think it's weird that IGN was going to save their exclusive.
Well, because that's the right thing to do. If you're given the exclusive from a publisher, it is your job to make sure that you don't spoil it ahead of time. IGN knows that. Hell, we know that.
I just think it's funny that they thought that a certain other website knows that.
See, okay, scruples aside, all that work put into keeping a project like this quiet, to give the readers a surprise, that's worth something. That's worth keeping something quiet for. And then just to have it just like, yay, this is happening, before like they actually get to release it and announce it the way that they want to do it, isn't that sap the specialness of the secrecy?
I don't think so.
No?
Because they kept it secret for over 2 years.
Yeah, I know. And then they didn't get to roll it out the way they wanted to.
No, they still did. Even Bleeding Cool didn't know about this till Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Some retailers only knew about it Monday. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've only known about this comic that is already, I mean, one can assume many issues in the can. We've only known about this comic since Monday.
I know, isn't that insane?
It's so funny.
That's special in and of itself. I mean, we're not like regular readers who go into stores and just want to be dazzled by something new. This was a good opportunity to be like, whoa, what the fuck is this? This is bananas. I'll take 5 or something like that.
There will still be people saying I'll take 5 because there are 10 different covers on this thing.
Yeah, I noticed that your cover has no word balloons and mine does.
Yes. That's interesting. And most of the covers have different stuff in the word balloons. Mm-hmm. So, like, there are literally 10 different variants on this thing. So there might be people who are like, I'm going to get all of them. But most stores will have a lot of copies. Skybound decided to match stores' orders for Oblivion Song, which was the most recent Kirkman launch. And most stores ordered pretty big on that. We ordered pretty big on it. So we got a lot of these, which, I mean, that was smart of them to do. Yeah. So no stores were going to be, like, you know, super, super low on it.
All right. How has Oblivion Song sold for you guys?
Oh, it's okay. The first issue sold really great because there's a lot of, again, speculators who were like, oh, I want to get the new Walking Dead issue number one.
That's what they think.
Yeah, that's true with every comic. The first issue was going to sell like gangbusters, and then, you know, it's just a slow lessening of the sales.
Don't you feel that there's some irony here? Robert Kirkman is very generous to retailers. And of course, not every retailer is so keen on returning that generosity. Don't you think it's strange that for a guy that's so retailer friendly and savvy as Kirkman is, that retailers would then go around and then spoil his own surprise for them?
I don't think the spoilering of this is that big a deal because it went so long not being spoiled. Like, if someone had spoiled this like a few months ago and like, oh my God, they've been working on this thing for, for, you know, a few months, it's going to come out in 4 months.
Sure.
That would have been shitty, and it would have taken a lot of the wind out of the sails of this thing. The fact that it got all the way to the stores with no one fucking knowing.
I would like to bring you to an article series called The Retailer's View over on the Comics Beat. They wrote an article way back when about how Marvel ceased the first look program with retailers because they were getting spoiled so often. I think the big one, the big straw that broke the camel's back, was the Captain America death reveal, and that irked them. Does Marvel now offer their first look program again? Do they offer PDFs?
They haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
Like, so, I remember when they did, and they just lessened and lessened the amount of books that they would preview until there really weren't many at all. Like, they'll give us previews every once in a while, but it's not very often. DC is better with that, and Image is better.
But Image and DC won't give out certain books because they know they have story beats that need to be kept under the lid. They brought up an interesting point about how retailers, or certain unscrupulous retailers, their words, would choose to bite the hand that feeds them. When in actuality, with digital becoming such a thing, this is what they said. I'm going to quote here. This is from a piece written by Brandon Schatz and Danica LeBlanc. Quote, "Trust me, they're champing at the bit," and they're referring to publishers, "to cut off the gangrenous retailer limb, especially when they have digital at their disposal. Why would they want to work with a system that requires months worth of lead time, printing costs, and information leaks when they can have a book ready and surprise the world with it?" End quote. That's a good point.
The one thing about this is that it's not spoiling like a plot point. It's just spoiling the fact that it comes out. And it's giving it some legs as far as publicity goes. It's giving it publicity.
I don't like that argument. Any publicity is good publicity, because it's not. I mean, publicity exists, yeah, sure, but if there's like a stain to it, oh, some negative feelings, some bad juju surrounding the book because of somebody else's machinations, that ruins it for me. I'm speaking as a human being there. Not as like a jerk who runs a comic site.
But like you mentioned, most comic readers, and comic readers themselves are a very small percentage of, you know, the population in general. Most comic readers are not following Newsarama. They're not following Bleeding Cool. They're not, or Doom Racket.
Yeah, you should follow Doom Racket.
The whole idea of a Wednesday Warrior is very much a myth. People rarely come in every week unless they're like getting their Marvel books every week. So they're going to come into the comic shop and see this out there. It's not going to be that much different of an experience. Like, the only way they're going to know that this was, like, a big surprise thing is if, you know, the person behind the counter there was like, hey, this really cool thing happened. They kept this secret for 2 years.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then the customer will be like, oh, that's really cool. I'll pick this up.
The really cool thing, though, about this whole enterprise is that they gave these books out for no cost.
They did.
So this is pure profit for retailers.
They did, yeah.
And then some jerk had to go and give it to Rich Johnston.
I guess I'm just a nerd to the existence of Bleeding Cool and the way it works. Them spoiling something like this, like, it doesn't bother me because, like, it just seems it's so obvious that it would happen.
But isn't that sad in a way?
Like I said, it's not spoiling the plot for anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just giving a person an excuse to come into the comic shop to get it. Right. So, I mean, I can't say that's a bad thing as a retailer.
I mean, word of mouth would have proliferated anyway if it had dropped on Wednesday or if the news had dropped on Monday.
I think that this gives the person who wasn't planning on coming in on Wednesday, if they're a Kirkman fan, if they're a Walking Dead fan, if they're a fan of Burnham and Fairbairn, like, hey, oh, cool, this new comic I didn't know about, I should go to the comic shop on Wednesday and pick that up. So, fingers crossed, that happens.
Yeah.
If that happens, I don't hate him 0.001 as much.
Even though I was making spicy conversation here, I tend to agree with you. Spoilers are generally just a part of the culture. My question is, do they have to be? I think that's what I come down to. It's like, can't we do better? Can't we be better? I mean, because for crying out loud, running a comic site is not a cash business. So it's like, if you're trying to milk every last hit out of, like, you know, usurping somebody else's surprise. It just makes you an asshole in my book.
Also, that sort of thing, when it's a superhero that everybody knows, like Captain America or whatever, mm-hmm. the people, many, many people who I mentioned who don't actually read comics, don't read superhero comics, they're not going to give a shit unless they see that sort of headline. And they're like, oh, hey, I want to go and pick that up. I didn't know Batman and Catwoman were getting married. I want to read about why. I want to read more about this.
Really makes you miss the days before the internet.
I mean, it might not bring the best customers in. It's not necessarily going to bring in people that are going to be, you know, repeat customers, but it brings people into stores.
It's true.
So, I mean, there's at least that. I'm just trying to look on the, you know, the bright side of it, but...
You're good that way.
What the New York Times did was still shitty.
Yeah, it was. It was completely shitty.
Yeah.
And I will give Johnston, I say through gritted teeth, a little credit. He does put spoilers in his articles. So if you don't want to read them...
You mean like a spoiler warning?
A spoiler warning. But when you have a headline that says, Die, Die, Die is this top secret Kirkman project, it's like, you know, but defeats the purpose.
I'm cool with them spoiling that. Yeah.
Are you bleeding cool?
No.
Oh, no.
One thing, since we didn't know this was happening, usually comic shops order their books 2 months in advance. And then we have, like, final order cut off, like, 6 weeks-ish before the book comes out.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously didn't have that for this.
Yeah.
Because we just got it. But it has, like, a letter in the back from Robert Kirkman to two readers.
Yeah.
And he says in there that this is going to be a monthly ongoing for the foreseeable future. And Burnham is a slow artist, but, I mean, that's enough time for him to get a lot of issues in the can.
I'm just stoked to see his art again.
Yeah, and me too.
This is great.
And it says that the release date of the next issue is going to be August 22nd, which, if it was a normal book, we would have ordered back in June?
June.
I'm wondering if that's going to just be on our FOC this upcoming week,
mm-hmm.
if they're going to do this thing again, or they just it just shows up. I mean,
I have a feeling when they'll do it for the first arc, and then they'll give enough time in between and just start putting it on solicits and let that get on track, and you guys just go about your usual business.
Like, maybe, because, like, here, at the end of the issue, it's, Breaking New Ground feels awesome, I love this book, and we hope you do too. Be on the lookout for the second issue very soon, and we'll continue monthly for the foreseeable future. But part of the fun is that our issues will arrive in stores without the covers appearing online, and without too much being spoiled about the book. So this is going to be an insane ride. Issue 2... August 22nd, 2018.
How did Robert Kirkman get in my living room? Mr. Kirkman, you look great.
It's the beard, it's the beard.
Yeah. So let's talk about the book itself, since we have it in front of us. We're not going to delve into any spoilers here. We'll give you an opportunity to experience it on your own. Die, 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 number one, is a very mature reader's title.
Oh, heck yeah.
I mean, my God.
You can tell by the cover. Like, they're covered in blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very well colored by Mr. Fairbairn, BT Dubs.
And this is a very political book. One of the main characters is a senator of these United States. And she's a part of a secret cabal, like this Illuminati-esque crew of people who control the world, who decide if you're in the way of progress, they'll, you know, just ring up a special assassin and they'll take you out. Interesting premise. We'll see where it goes. What do you feel about the reunion of Burnham and Fairbairn?
Oh, I mean, the book looks great.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely plays to Burnham's strengths of just bloody mayhem.
Yeah.
And obviously Fairbairn. Fairbairn, he's one of my favorite colorists. Him and Matt Wilson are my two faves.
They're both
so
very
good.
Sharp colorists.
Yes. They both work with different styles of art and just excel at every single one of them.
Mm.
So, yeah, it looks great. The book itself, it's not necessarily my thing. I'm just still excited about just the idea that they were able to keep this under wraps.
Yeah.
Like, I almost kind of want to read it just for that.
There are panels in this book where I went, ooh, and I can only imagine how you reacted to
them. Oh, yeah, no, there's a lot of gross looking stuff.
There's a lot of gross.
And there's a lot of, like, obviously bad words and, yeah.
Naughty language.
Yes, not for kids, as most Kirkman offerings are, aside from Super Dinosaur.
So Kirkman's writing the words, but he's co-plotting with Scott M. Gimple, and they collaborate. Or I guess Kirkman's just an executive producer, I suppose, in name. I don't know how much...
On The Walking Dead?
On The Walking Dead. I'm not sure how much storytelling pull he has over on that show. But it appears him and Gimple get along pretty well, enough to collaborate on a book of their own. So that's interesting.
He mentions in that letter in the back that him and Gimple came up with this idea, like, years ago.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think AMC's already got a pilot in pre-production
as we speak? I wouldn't be surprised. But I think that sort of thing isn't going to be able to be kept under wraps.
Yeah.
If it was actually going to be.
Unless that's the announcement at SDCC.
I mean, that's a possibility. It can't be like this was and just have it, like, there's this scheduled show to be on AMC. I wonder what it could be.
What could
and
it
then,
be?
And then on Sunday, it starts playing, and then they're not going to do that. There's too much money riding on TV shows for them to just have something happen and not have to have the time to promote it and let people know about it. Comics, you can do that. And I mean, the amount of money Kirkman must have to burn to be able to send these to comic shops, this many, for free.
Oh, he's got his cheddar and the full production line of Image Comics at his disposal.
The creator still has to pay for some of the costs on that stuff, like the production costs, the distribution costs, and all that stuff. That's just so funny. And I mean, he must be still covering, you know, page rates for Burnham and Fairbairn. Mm-hmm. I mean, or maybe they're getting, like, back end, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think it's fun.
It's a really fun thing.
It fills me with joy.
Mm. Yeah. And the best part is, this is the first Kirkman and Gimple co-production that won't involve Chris Hardwick. All right, MJ, we got to move on to the top five. You ready for it?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. MJ, I'm going to have you start us off this week.
I guess.
All right, go for it.
All right, so I'm going to pick a book that I feel like you'll maybe agree with me picking.
Maybe.
Might maybe be on your top five, too.
What do you got?
Superman, number one.
Superman. Yep, it's on my top five, too.
So you're okay with it?
Yeah.
You're okay with Mr. Bendis writing Big Blue, yeah?
Still trying to figure out what the hell the point of Man of Steel was, but yeah.
But this issue you liked okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
Written by Brian Michael Bendis, pencils by Iron Reyes, Joe Prado on inks, Alex Sinclair on colors, Josh Reed on letters. So this is the first issue coming out of the Man of Steel miniseries.
Yes.
Ivan Reyes was the artist on the first issue of that. Mm-hmm. His art in this is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Doesn't look rushed at all.
Mm-mm.
This is a gorgeous issue. It's fun. Now that we know, like, the big mystery that was happening in Man of Steel, you're able to play on that drama a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think I enjoy this issue a bunch. There's a variant cover by Adam Hughes that is super pretty. Mm-hmm. A variant cover by David Mack. It's just a good issue. You should go buy it.
I'm just happy that Man of Steel is over, because all that did was just, like, start and then start again, and then just, like, it couldn't get its motor running, as far as I was concerned.
It was just Bendis' usual decompressed storytelling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Didn't really enjoy it. This is the beginning. This is Superman number one. I actually asked you last week how many Superman ones I'll read again in my lifetime.
And well, how many have you read?
Two three? Men. Three now.
Okay.
We had The Burn, Superman number one back in 87. Then there was Superman number one in New 52, and then this.
In Rebirth, too.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
Four.
That's four. Hot dog. That's four. That's three too many, I feel. But Superman number one feels like a bold new era. I'm excited. I'm on board. Superman number one is our first pick this week.
You sounded so excited. Like, I'm excited.
It's
on board.
Superman. It's been killing me that I haven't been able to get stoked about this. The art's fucking gorgeous. Read it. It's great. Ish.
Ish.
We'll talk. We still need to do that Man of Steel postmortem episode.
I thought you wanted to write a full review.
I didn't have time. We had stupid Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
Anyway. Moving on. My next pick is Relay number one from Aftershock Comics. Very excited about this book. It's written by Zach Thompson with a story by Thompson, Donnie Cates, and Eric Bromberg. Art by Andy Clark, who returns to Aftershock for the first time since Replica. Colors by Jose Villarubia with Dan Brown, and letters by Charles Pritchett. Relay, I don't know too much about it, only what the solicit info told me, so I guess we're all on the same page. The art by Andy Clark is reason enough to check this out, but Zach Thompson is one of those writers that's been coming up, he knows his game, and he's doing a hell of a job here. Relay number one is my next pick this week. MJ, what's next for you?
My next pick is a Boom book called Coda. I love it so much. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of fantasy out there, and this rises above the rest of them. It's written by Cy Spurrier, illustrated by Matias Vergara, with color assists by Michael Doig, and letters by Jim Campbell. It's just really great. The art dazzles every single issue. And
it does look impressive.
It keeps on having, like, cool twists at the end of each issue.
Wow.
So this one definitely does, too. What's your next one, Jared?
My next one's another DC book. Feels good to have DC, at least two of them in my top five. Eternity Girl, number five from DC's Young Animal. It's written by Magdalene Visaggio, art by Sonny Liu, colors by Chris Chukri, and letters by the master Todd Klein. Eternity Girl is turning out to be one of my favorite books of the year. I think it's actually going to end up on my miniseries list. Mm. Spoilers for our year in review.
Spoilers.
But Eternity Girl is, if you haven't checked it out, is easily my favorite miniseries from the new Young Animal line post-Milk Wars.
I mean, it's the only new one, really.
Yeah. Everything else picks up from stories before, albeit with semi-different takes or angles or tweaked a little bit. I enjoy them all. Eternity Girl goes straight to my heart. Love it to death. Eternity Girl number 5 is my next pick. MJ, you.
My next one is a Marvel book. Marvel's been throwing a bunch of number ones at us lately.
Expensive number ones.
This one's $4.99, which is better than $5.99. Mm. Some of them have been $3.99, but $4.99 is the average. This is X-23 number 1.
Mm-hmm.
All new Wolverine series ended. Which
Laura Kinney, Wolverine no more.
That was such a great series. Tom Taylor killed it with his collaborators as well. Mm-hmm. This one is written by Mariko Tamaki, art by Juan Cabal, colors by Nolan Woodard, and letters by Corey Pettit. She is not in the Wolverine,
regalia.
Yeah, not in the yellows and blues anymore. I think she's still with Gabby. I haven't read this yet. TBQH. I know Gabby is still in this. Her little sister / clone, who is amazing.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm excited to see Tamaki write her, as well as see her write Laura.
I like those little motorcycle gloves she's got on.
Yeah, they look really cool.
Pretty bitchin'.
I'm excited to read this book. I'm glad Laura still has an ongoing, even if she's not Wolverine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, we get Logan back.
Yeah, because isn't he awesome? Yeah.
That starts up soon. X-23 number 1, looking pretty good to me.
Oh, no.
What's your next one, Jared?
My next one is Wasted Space number 3 from Vault Comics. That's written by Michael Morrissey, art by the inimitable Hayden Sherman, colors by Jason Wordy, and letters by Jim Campbell. Wasted Space, I enjoy because it's a rip-roaring science fiction yarn that dabbles in the province of religion. Hayden Sherman's art is absolutely fantastic. This kid's on the rise. Check him out. I've said it a dozen times on this podcast. Anyway, Wasted Space number 3, my pick this week. MJ, you.
My next one is Outpost Zero. This is an Image number 1. This is written by Sean Kelly McKeever with art by Alexandra Tefengi, Jean-Francois Ballou on colors, and Ariana Mayer on letters. You may know Sean Kelly McKeever from Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane,
mm-hmm.
an Eisner Award-winning comic series that was amazing. He's also worked a bunch with Mike Norton. They've done some really great stuff together, too. He's been doing video games for a while. This is a cool sci-fi thing with all of these kids trapped in this faraway outpost. You should always check out New Image number 1s. They're always good. This one has great promise.
Great promise.
What's your next one?
My final one for this week is The Dead Hand number 4. Dead Hand also shaping up to be one of my favorite new series of the year. This one's written by
Kyle Higgins.
By Kyle Higgins, yes, thank you. Art by Stephen Mooney, colors by Jordi Belair, and letters by the Clayton Cowles. No spoilers for The Dead Hand. This thing thrives in secrecy. It's about secret black ops crew that are doing crazy things up north. I'm not going to say any more. The art by Stephen Mooney is fantastic. I think it's some of the strongest work of his career. Kyle Higgins, if you've read him before, you know what you're getting yourself into. Lots of sass, lots of intrigue, all around a solid story. So yeah, check it out. Dead Hand number 4 closes out my top 5. MJ, what's last for you?
My last one is another Image book. Good Image week.
Yeah.
This week. Very good. Isola number 4.
Mm-hmm.
This is written by Brandon Fletcher and with Carl Kerschel. They both do the story together. And then the art is Carl Kerschel and I don't know how to pronounce this one either. And I don't know if it's M. Sassy K or M. Sassick.
I'm against pen names.
Yeah,
fancy pen names.
She's a pretty fancy colorist, though.
Her
colors are phenomenal. And, letters by Aditya Bidikar. This is such a good fantasy series.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it could be silent, and I would get it. I mean, no offense to Brendan Fletcher. The story's cool, too. But I would get this just to look at Carl Kerschel and M. Sassy K's art, because it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It looks like a Ghibli movie.
It does.
That's probably the best comparison for their art. Isola number 4, that's my last pick for the week.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you're welcome.
Each week, we take to social media and ask you guys a pressing question on our minds. And this week's question, How do you feel about leaks and spoilers in the comics industry? We asked, you guys answered. MJ, will you please take it away?
On Facebook, Jill Thompson says, I work really hard to create entertainment that has a buildup and a flow, and I'm always mystified why some sources leak important story details and stuff.
Over on Twitter, Alex Chung at Alex_Chung says, spoilers and leaks bum me out because I want to enjoy a new comic for what it is. But just like with classics, if I know the spoiler going in, like Watchmen, I'm all about the journey to get there and where the story goes after the twist.
And Jean Ha on Facebook, spoilers don't ruin enjoyment, but it steals the experience, fear, suspense, and adventure of discovery. Also, your first reading or viewing has been turned into a second-hand take. Pleasurable, but no longer worth remembering, and there's no way to ever experience what was stolen.
Still on Facebook, Megan Ansbach said, feels like a bad business move, but they won't keep me from reading something I was intending to read.
And over on Twitter, Celestiel, who's at IamCeleste1, it says, as a consumer, I'm a hoe for any kind of spoilery content, but as a retailer, it fucking sucks. It's a huge waste of money to buy all these comics when the publisher is just going to spoil what happens the day before. Doesn't incentivize customers to buy the next day.
On Instagram, Dan Christensen at dcartoons0213 said, they make me kind of furious, actually. It's inconsiderate, selfish, and if hell exists, I like to think there's an extra toasty corner. They're reserved for chumps who spoil, leak stories, and ruin them for other people.
And at Couple of Wings on Twitter said, I feel like it reveals a lack of respect or care that comics have as an entertainment medium. The fact that a review of a comic in the New York Times is basically a detailed summary of the story instead of an actual review on the quality of the comic is a darn shame. Reading a comic or watching a movie is an experience, and knowing spoilers ruins a lot of the tension these stories build for the reader.
Back on Facebook, Joe Hemmerling, hey Joe, he said, I don't follow any comic journalism but DR, Doom Rocket, so I remain oblivious to them.
At Wednesday Comics, ending in an X, said, about as bad as an itch I cannot reach to scratch. Irritated.
Still on Facebook, Andrew Elias said, I don't mind spoilers with warnings from comics news sites because they give warnings and it's your choice to click, and also helps people know what to grab. I don't like putting spoilers 4 days early on a national newspaper, however.
On Twitter, at Russ Burlingame said, I am jaded. Because of my job, everything gets spoiled eventually. So in general, when big ones happen, I can miss them entirely, not realizing they were not already widely known.
Future Father of the Year, Jeremy Hatchett, at Jeremy Hatchett said, they don't really bother me. I mostly read trades, so if I see them, I usually forget about them. I do understand why people don't like them, and it's pretty crappy for a publisher to be so insecure with a story that they would leak spoilers.
And Blake Morgan, who is at BTMorgan85 on Twitter, said, usually I don't care, but when DC leaked Damian Wayne's death well before that issue of Batman Inc. came out, I was kind of bummed.
Mm-hmm. Clyde Hall on Facebook, hey Clyde, said, overall, the practice at its worst is subscribing to the no such thing as bad publicity mindset, regardless of how it will impact fans invested in the book or franchise. And we got time for one more. MJ, please take it away.
At Paradigm Eyes on Twitter said, I don't mind because I don't read/watch for mysteries to solve. I just like being entertained by extremely creative people. I've watched Star Wars and Beauty and the Beast 5,000 times, and I know them by heart. It doesn't change my love for them. Spoilers don't either.
Hey, MJ, what about spoiler Stephanie Brown? You like her?
Yes, obviously. I liked her better as Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
She was a great Batgirl.
But when she was spoiler, she was going out with Robin. Poof? Poof?
Yes.
Where's your sense of romance?
My sense of romance is reserved for Babs and Dick.
Babs and Dick. Yeah. So Tim Drake doesn't get to have any enjoyment in his life, nor Stephanie Brown?
Eh.
Eh? Dan DiDio, how did you get in my living room? And that's it. That's all the time we have for this installment of Casual Wednesdays. Need more of this dweeby little podcast in your life? Check out our 62-episode archive over on iTunes.
62? Google.
62. Yeah, it goes by fast. Where was I? iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and subscribe. Tell us how we're doing. Or search Casual Wednesdays over at DoomRocket.com. New episodes every Wednesday afternoon. And look us up on Twitter. I'm at @JaredJones_MJ. Where can they find you?
@MollyJane_K.
I saw you making that face. And that's it. So until the day we get around to that Amalgam Comics episode, I remain Jared. I remain Jared. That's MJ. And from all of us here at DoomRocket.com, have a great new comic book day. You stop it.
Never.
You better stop it.